Well, it's the beginning of July. We're about to change course now. We've had 5 weeks looking at God's mission in the wider world. And we're starting now 3 weeks before we come to the summer season when things change again. We've got 3 weeks looking at selected readings from the book of Ephesians. And we're just doing a little bit of back to basics and thinking about church, the essentials. And Maggie's going to be speaking today about being a united church.
The reading is Ephesians chapter 2, commencing at verse 11. Paul is telling the church in Ephesus that Jews and Gentiles are reconciled through Jesus. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners in the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
So as Steve said, we're in a new series. We've got 3 short weeks to look at this study on the United Church. This kind of session on bringing us together, it's an interesting word, isn't it, united? It generally applies to football clubs these days, who never behave like they're united in anything, I don't think, when they're on the pitch. But being a united church. And I've come up with 3 things to say about this, and it's really simple. So I'm hoping that in each of these steps, something will just trigger for you, just an encouragement or a blessing or perhaps something to step up into. So those 3 headings are that as a united church, we are united first of all in Christ. That then because of him, we're united together in mission. Well, certainly that's our desire, to be united in mission. And thirdly, again, because of what we've received in Jesus, that we're united in love. So those are the 3 steps so you'll know when you're near the end. So I don't know if you ever think about this. It's more obvious some weeks than others. But if you look around the church like I do, do you sometimes find yourself thinking, it is a miracle this collective of people could ever be together? Do you ever think that? If you're in a church where you don't think that, something is going wrong. So I remember that we belonged when we first got married to a church where actually there was a surprising uniformity of clothing, of ethnicity, of background. It was a brethren church. If you weren't a brethren, you couldn't cope with it, so you didn't stay. So it was a brethren church. And people were very, very alike. The way they spoke about the Bible was very similar. A united church shouldn't be full of people who look the same, should it? And the more different we look, I think the more like the kingdom of God we become. So we should really celebrate that sort of difference. But if it wasn't for the church, we would all be scattered. So if I think about this church, not just in terms of who's here this morning, but in terms of all of us, I think we've got 340 people listed on Church Suite, maybe more. That's a lot of people. What do we all look like? What lives do we come from? Actually, we come from very different lives. We come from different backgrounds. I was remembering with somebody the other day that I come from a mining background. My father was the son of a miner in a Durham mining village, and his whole community was in a very small space, and pretty much still is, really, within a few miles of each other. Steve's family across the water had a very different experience as a family life in the whole situation in Northern Ireland at the time he was growing up. You will come from different settings. In our staff team, we reflect that as well. We come from very different generations, don't we? We have very little ones here this morning. We have much older people. I'm not going to presume to tell you which you are. You can choose for yourself which age you are. And very different skills and jobs. Northampton's quite a diverse town. So we have people here who work in the banking sector and people who are builders. We have people who have given up work and retired and people who are carers. We have people who work part-time and people who are really career workers who have to commute and travel, fly abroad, travel the length and breadth of the country. People who organise teams as well as people who have to do what they're told. We're a very diverse mix of people. And we come from different settings, even in Northampton, don't we? Some of us live in pretty villages and we travel into the town and we get out as fast as we can. Some of us, like Steve and I, live just off Abington Street in the town centre and we see all that goes on here. We live in all sorts of places in between. And we have historically reflected different nationalities, partly because of the work of Fish in the past. People coming to university from different communities overseas, being gathered up through the hospitality of Fish and then making their home in St Giles. And that's still the case to some extent. Now we have students doing that as well. It's a great fun thing for me sometimes when I encounter people at the door. You know those people who stagger through the door and look a bit like they need help? And I'm one of those people who kind of gets involved in trying to rescue sometimes. Quite a collection of different characters at the door. And one of the things I like to play is the game of what's their language and who can I match them to? My go-to person is Hans Jürgen because he speaks most of them, but occasionally we catch him out. And if in doubt, I always say to them, do you speak any Russian? Because lots of people do, surprisingly, and that's been a really useful skill that Hans Jürgen has brought. It's a really great thing to have a diverse mix of languages in our church. It's a good thing. It's how the church is supposed to look. So we have to reflect our local community, don't we? Because the gospel is good news for everyone. And if you only come to this church because you look the same as everybody else, something's going wrong somewhere. Did you know that Northampton, this is a surprise to me, Northampton is the most diverse town in the county ethnically. About 15.5%, this was in 2014, the last figure I could find, 15.5% of Northampton town are from ethnic minorities. 5,000 people don't speak English confidently or at all as a first language. And then there are all major faiths here. Now, I will just say as an aside, the reason I was surprised by that is because I don't think we're a very diverse town at all, ethnically. A comparison figure would be Leicester, where it's 50%. So we're not as diverse as we might be, but we are a more diverse part of Northamptonshire. So how is it that we can be a united church? How is it that we can make a way for such diverse groups of people to find a home in one place, with all of our different experiences, ages and stages? Well, if you look at this next PowerPoint, this is a verse from our reading. Now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Paul is writing originally to a Gentile population who were completely excluded. He's saying, you've been invited in, you can join in now. It's okay, we'll let you in now to the Gentiles. But actually, if you take this for us and where we are today, each of us can say, we were far from God, but because of Jesus, he's brought us near. And if you think of it, as we come near to him, as we come near to Jesus, we're coming near to one another because we have the same common sense of how we are accepted by God, how we've met together. In Christ Jesus, we've brought close, and that brings us closer to one another. It's a really healthy sign of the spread of the gospel, the more diverse we are, I think, and the fruit of the kingdom. You see, the gospel is not for a particular type of person, it's for all people. The good news of Jesus is for all people, not just people who can own it and claim that it's theirs. Curiously, I looked up today just to see what would happen if you found the United Church of God as a search. So I'm just losing my headphones. And the United God of Church turns out to be a sort of brand. So there's the United Church of God, and then you might not be, which I thought was quite bizarre, really. We are all the part of the United Church of God. But in St. Giles, we want to express that by being embracing of, welcoming to all those people whom Jesus has called to have this experience of being brought near to him because of the blood that he gave for us. It's a really healthy sign. In the reading, you know, and this is a challenge to us, in the reading it's made clear that it was quite an extreme separation, the Jews and the Gentiles, that Paul is writing about. They use these words. The Gentiles were excluded from faith. They couldn't have got through the door. They were completely excluded. There was hostility between the Jews and the Gentiles. There were barriers put up for people coming to find faith. I wonder if we can just check with ourselves that we don't put up any unconscious barriers to people who walk through this door who don't look like us, might not have the same background as us, to them finding their home here because they have found their place in Jesus. But you know, there's a little catch. There's always a catch and a challenge. And the little catch is this: Jesus brings us together as long as we recognize that he is our Lord. You see, otherwise we have a diverse group of people thrown together who then bounce off each other and go, oh my goodness, I don't like the way you do that. I don't think that works for me. I'm not sure you should sing quite as loud as that. I'm not sure you should worship the way you like to worship because I don't do it like that. You know, we have to recognize Jesus as Lord first and put him first in order for those things to become second. So that we can do that rubbing together that you do in a family. You know when you put your children together and they fight like cats and dogs when they're growing up? It's good stuff. I say this now as a grandparent. It's good. It's okay. Because that's how they learn that they don't rule the world. It's not all going to go their way. That's how they learn to give and take, to learn patience, to learn sharing. Same in the church, where you have to bump up against somebody really different to us, and it's good for us. It's a real challenge for us. The Message translation is lovely. It says, instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he, Jesus, created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. So we have to come and know Jesus first. If you're here and you haven't met with Jesus as your personal Lord, if you haven't said, Lord Jesus, I see that you are Lord of my life, then you might feel a bit out of place here. But that invitation is as much for you as it is for any person here. So let's come first to Jesus. And then celebrating the grace and the goodness that allows us to have that place of acceptance with him will cause us to worry so much less about our differences. We share a common story, a shared grace. Through him, we all have access to one Father by one Spirit. A united church shouldn't really work at all, I don't think. You can think of all sorts of reasons why it might not. But it does, and because it does, it's a real testimony, a real signpost to the kingdom of God and the goodness of God in our lives. And you know, I'm talking about St. Giles this morning, but I do include in that our relationship with other churches, with people around us. We have a really good relationship with the little church that started just around the corner here. We have a really good relationship with the people who are united around New Wine, who are coming, some of them are coming to join us to celebrate this evening. Steve and Tim meet with other leaders in the town to bless and encourage and pray for each other because it matters. But let's take that challenge at home first. Could you make a step towards somebody who's really different to you over these next few weeks and make them feel as much part of St. Giles as you are so that we can all be united as church together? Secondly, a united church has a shared vision for its mission. We're united in mission. I'm just going to show you a very quick little video. Jill, if you're happy to play that, thank you.
Is the church a pastor or a staff? Is the church the music? The tradition or the ministries? These are all good things, but they are not the church. Take them away and the church is still here. Why? Because you are still here. The church is you. The church is you with a purpose. The church is you on a mission. The church is you with a plan, a simple plan, to plug into God at a weekend service, to charge up in a small group community, to live out using your gifts and passions, and to pass on your faith to those who do not know Christ. When you and I live like this, all the things we used to do in church become things we do as the church. God desires it. The world needs it. And we are called to be it. What is the church? The church is you.
So I really like that, but it's not ours, it's borrowed. So obviously those statements are slightly different, perhaps ones that we might use, but you can't really argue with that, can you? That the church is the people, the church is you. But you know, if as I said before, if we're a very diverse group of people with diverse backgrounds and interests and styles and skills and experiences, and we come together and we say, well, the church is me, we could actually begin to function like church, like this. This is a little toy, you can buy this in Wilko's for fiver. And the idea is you plug your hose pipe in the back and the pressure of the water gets all the legs to spray water out in all different directions. But can you see how disjointed it is? It's going all over the place. It's got no brain, basically. It can't coordinate itself. It's just a toy. It really caught my eye this week because, you know, if we don't take our differences and try and shape them together as this church, then our efforts can feel a bit like that, a bit disjointed, a bit lacking in power and impact. So we do have clear mission to do together. We're united in mission. And at the moment, our mission focuses are around these four areas, children, families, and youth. No one will argue that our children are vital, aren't they? And sharing faith with them is vitally important. Our students and young adults is a mission field we've heard about on our university site. Church planting, we celebrated recently the good news of Collingtree and James. And older people, there's a real heart among those who minister to our older people in this church for seeing people come to faith. Isn't that a great thing? These are things that have come from us asking God, where are you leading us to focus at the moment? So my invitation to you is to find a way to join in with that vision so that we are united in mission, even if those are not your current passion or your favourite thing today. The church will revisit this in future. There may be other priorities in the future. But today, as church, we want to unite around these things. It may be that you go home and actually in your workplace, in your work environment, you have a whole different mission field that is yours. But when we come together, we want to function in a way that's powerful and effective. So we want to unite and share a vision together. And in that Ephesians passage, it talks about Jesus preaching peace to those who are far away. And peace to those who are near. In all of those ministry areas that we've highlighted, we want to share that message of peace with people who are further away and invite them to come in and join this church. And finally, and perhaps briefly, a united church needs to be united in love. I love the way the internet tries to capture diversity in its pictures. And when you've only got five or six figures, you can't cover very much, can you? But it's had a go. That's a diverse picture of the church, but united in love. Galatians 5 talks a lot about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, all those things that you want your children to learn when they fight with each other. We really need those expressed among us if we're going to function well together, don't we? We want to see more fruit in our lives, more of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Like in any family, we have challenges working together, being together. And we want to grow in maturity in the way that we love one another. Seek to grow in love. So if you feel one day that your particular group hasn't got the attention another group has got, if you feel perhaps that your view wasn't heard when a decision was made, if you feel that perhaps the resources that you're giving to the church are currently not going to the thing that is the most important thing for me, can you bear with the people around you and support them? Can you be a blessing to them? Can you be gracious and loving to them? I think being united in love is also a choice. We choose to do it and we set it as our priority. There's a lovely hymn. I've got the words up on here on the last slide. Let us learn how to serve and in our lives enthrone him. So that's our owning Jesus as Lord that we spoke about at the beginning. Each other's need to prefer because it's Christ we're serving. We want to put the mission of Jesus first and then we can bear with all sorts of things, can't we? We can even bear with our thing not being the thing for a season. And as we draw close to Jesus, we can become more like him and so more loving towards one another. And I just wanted to celebrate for a moment just the things that are being done that do communicate that we are growing together in love, that we are united in love as a church. And I just want to share with you a picture of that for the church at the minute. It's a bit like there's a net across this church, an invisible net. If you imagine a fisherman's net where they've knotted the ropes together and it's laid out across the whole community of the church. See, in little places all around the week, in different people's homes and in different settings, unsung heroes of this church are loving one another. And I get to see some of it because with Serena we coordinate some pastoral care, and often we make the decision that we don't need to formally respond because the church is so already graciously involved in caring and supporting for people. So the unsung hero that visited an elderly person who's been housebound for weeks with their health is a blessing to the church and part of that net. The unsung hero who went and put their rubber gloves on and cleaned someone's home because they were weary is an unsung hero and part of the net. Those of you who served the older people's ministry on Saturday for seniors, I celebrate you today. Those of you who take a mum aside at the end of a service when the little ones have been fractious and you say, actually, you're doing a great job. That act of loving service is part of that net. And I just want to say and honour every one of you who plays your part in that and encourage all of us to continue to do that. You see, that's creating a united church. That's connecting us together. That's making a real, real difference. So just to close, the United Church is our gift. It really is our DNA. God has created a new one person out of the scattered persons that were there before. In Jesus Christ, when we come to him in faith, we have this potential to live out a united life together. But we do need to work at it. We do need to ask God for more of the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We do need to choose to support one another in mission together, whatever we might do separately. We do need to contribute towards one another in love. So may I just pray for God to give us an encouragement about the step that perhaps we might take towards that this week. Father, thank you that in Jesus you have broken down the dividing wall between us and our neighbour as each of us turns to Jesus in faith. And as we own you as Lord this morning, Father God, would you grow your fruit of love in our lives, a passion for our shared mission, and a care for one another. Amen.